Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Deep. Line drive to Turpin, and it bounces through his legs. Here he comes. Kevontae Turpin spinning free. Here he goes. Fastest man in the NFL. Kevontae Turpin takes it all the way. Touchdown, Dallas.
Yes. Austin said that you guys were going for a dirty kick to make him field it there. What's the thought of a dirty kick versus just trying to kick it through the end zone?
Yeah, it's harder to kick it out than you think. And so I thought it was really, honestly, from the kicking standpoint, executed well. So if you have to stop your feet and get once to go, that's the challenge one. If you can get to hit the ground, that's what you're trying to do into that spot. But that's the difference.
Yeah. So turns out that old Austin Seibert may have been compromised heading into the game. Maybe that's the injury we should have been talking about all last week. Good morning on this Wednesday, the busiest travel day of the year. Hope you get to where you're going, or the people that are coming to see you get to you safely. Happy Thanksgiving right now, so I don't forget. Denton and I will be off tomorrow, and then I'm off on Friday. Denton will be hosting the show on Friday. Am I correct? You're going to host all morning long.
Yeah, I'll be 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Friday morning.
6 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Yeah,
and then
nice
who's
and
doing 10 to 1?
So we're simulcast with 106.7, so I believe it's Linnell from 10 to 2.
Linnell from 10 to 2. I will have some smell test picks on the show today for tomorrow's games. And then on Friday, I'll put them out via Twitter. I don't feel that badly pitching my smell test picks here after five consecutive winning weekends. Last week, just barely, 7-6. Been killing it in college. But I've got basically every game on the board tomorrow. Give those out a little bit later on in the show. Ben Standing's going to join us at 11. We've got NFL power rankings today, NFL buy and sell. Denton's got five NFL burning questions. And I've got a really good what do you got coming up for all of you old school Redskin fans. 50 years ago tomorrow, one of the more significant games in franchise history. But we got to start with Austin Seibert going to injured reserve. By the way, they signed Chris Rodriguez. And of course, we are expecting Zane Gonzalez now to be the kicker. Seibert had been dealing with that hip injury that had cost him a couple of weeks. They brought him back for a game against the Cowboys. We've talked a lot about this week that, you know, the debates about, you know, two-point conversions and, you know, going for it or not, the debate about the 51-yard field goal with a minute 40 to go on second down, you know, all decent debates that have real good reasons to be on either side of those questions. But to me, the one that was so cut and dried was you don't kick to Kevontae Turpin with 3 minutes to go in a three-point game, you know, and having two timeouts left. You don't want the clock to run on that, and you don't want to put the most dangerous man on the field in play with the ball in his hands. Great kickoff for the landing zone target area, you know, bounced on the turf, went between his legs, but the rest is history after he picked it up. And clearly they didn't have the option of kicking it deep into the end zone to force at least the possibility of a touchback or out of the end zone. Now, we know that all season long, they have had great kick coverage. They have been, you know, targeting the landing zone, trying to get teams stopped before the 30-yard line, bringing a penalty into play. And they've done a great job. But Sunday was not the spot. Sunday was the spot where we needed to turn the clock back a year, where basically 75 to 80% of the kicks in the league went through the end zone for touchbacks, or deep enough into the end zone that they were touchbacks. Give them the ball at the 30. But they had a kicker who couldn't do it. The question, of course, is did they know they had a kicker that couldn't do that before the game? Because if they did, why was he active? Zane Gonzalez has a slightly bigger leg, had kicked a couple of touchbacks in the games that he had kicked. They'd given up decent returns in the Pittsburgh game and the Philadelphia game. So the coverage, while it was outstanding for much of the year, they had given up a couple of decent-sized returns in the previous two games. And you are now going to be faced with the possibility of the most dangerous returner in the game having the ball being in the game and having the ball in his hands in a game in which you expected to be able to handle offensively and defensively. So why give up anything special teams-wise? He had a 38-yarder on the opening kickoff. He had a 30-yarder on his second kickoff return. On his third kickoff return, he actually should have let the ball go out of bounds, or should have caught it with 1 foot out of bounds, 1 foot in bounds, and they would have had it at the 40. Because that ball was headed out of bounds or right near there, and he had an opportunity perhaps to let that ball bounce a little bit and turn it into a much bigger play, but he caught it and went out of bounds. You could say that was an effective kickoff, yes, but there could have been an opportunity for him as well. So did he kick hurt, you know, or did he get hurt during the game? I guess that's something we may find out today when Dan Quinn speaks at 12:30. We will carry that at 12:30. Look, this has been a season in which, so far, 12 games into it, in which there's been, at least from my standpoint, a lot of trust built up into, you know, Dan Quinn in particular. You know, I think by extension, ownership and the general manager, because they picked Dan Quinn, but I have come to feel really good about the hire. I felt good about the hire when they made it. You know, not that if Ben Johnson had been interested in being a head coach, that I wouldn't have been excited about that hire as well, especially in today's game. But I think as the offseason went through, went along, and then we got into the season, you know, I think we've got a guy that is high quality. I don't know what we'll learn today. It seems like when it comes to injuries, we don't get direct answers until it's warranted, when we got the clearly and honestly, Jaden Daniels is not injured. Maybe we will get today. Austin Seibert was fully healthy entering that game, and he was banged up during the game, and therefore we didn't have the option of kicking it out of the end zone late with 3 minutes to go. I don't know. It certainly seems like perhaps they brought him back a game too early. And it cost them. Let's not, you know, kid ourselves. They didn't play well enough on offense or defense necessarily to win the game, but they certainly would have won the game with decent special teams play. And that is pretty much a lock. You know, two missed PATs and a missed field goal, and a kickoff that couldn't travel into the end zone and got returned for a touchdown, not to mention a couple of weak onside kick attempts. There you go. It'll be Zane Gonzalez the rest of the year. I also wonder if there's any chance that they got to look at Gonzalez for a couple of weeks and they're like, this guy might be better. Yes, Seibert's 25 of 27, but Gonzalez has a slightly stronger leg. We've got the option of kicking it deeper into the end zone if we want, and maybe they wanted him anyway. I don't know. I think we'll learn something at 12:30. I'd certainly expect those questions, you know, or a question or two to be asked about the kicking situation. With Chris Rodriguez called up, you know, that's certainly an indication that they may be without Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Ekeler on Sunday against a team in Tennessee who is pretty good defensively. You know, when you look at just the traditional statistics, you know, in terms of defense, you're looking at a defense right now in Tennessee that's number two overall in yards allowed. In terms of their pass defense, they are right now number one in the league defensively. In terms of their defensive rank defensively, they're 10th overall per DVOA. This is an excellent defensive football team. Now, at the same time, they give up 26.5 points per game. And the reason for that really is their offense more than it is their defense. Their offense has been a turnover machine. They are second in the league in giveaways with 21. The Raiders lead the league with 22 turnovers. Tennessee is 21. In an overall margin, they are minus 12 in the turnover margin category. You know, they've given up multiple defensive scores, and they've given up some big special teams plays as well. Defensively, they are an outstanding football team. And they're led by, you know, guys like Jeffrey Simmons, who is as good as anybody as an inside, you know, defensive tackle. Harold Landry as a pass rush specialist. Arden Key, Kenneth Murray Jr., Sebastian Joseph Day. This is a good defensive football team. A much better defensive football team on paper than Dallas was. This is more in the category of what they saw against Pittsburgh and Philadelphia defensively. Their problem has been turnovers. They turn the ball over too much. Will Levis has been a turnover machine, although on Sunday he only threw one interception and only fumbled once. But that could be the difference. That's all you need in a game on Sunday, is for Levis to throw, you know, one pick and fumble once. They also had a returner fumble in the Tennessee game. They had three turnovers in the Houston game and still won, which may say a lot about Houston's current state. But they really bottled up Houston from a defensive standpoint. I mentioned this yesterday or the day before. Joe Mixon, off a very successful Monday night game against the Cowboys, where he rushed for 5.5 yards per carry and three touchdowns, 109 yards in their 34-10 win, came back Sunday against Tennessee's defense, 14 carries, 22 yards, 1.6 yards per carry. They, on offense, in their new head coach, I think most of you know this, Brian Callahan. Brian Callahan, the son of Bill Callahan, who is the team's offensive line coach. Randy Jordan, longtime running backs coach here, is now the running backs coach there. They can run the football with Tony Pollard. You know, Bill Callahan could scheme up a run game. Randy Jordan could coach a run game. And Tony Pollard is having a decent season. So they're able to run the football. This is a different opponent. They just lost to a bad team. Tennessee is a bad team because they self-inflict week in and week out with turnovers and mistakes. And it's really about their quarterback, who, by the way, let me just point out, Will Levis, not my favorite, not Denton's favorite, coming out of Kentucky. The dude's got a massive arm, though. There's no doubt about his arm strength. He can make every throw. It's his decision-making, and it's his accuracy that has been the issue. But on Sunday, against Houston's pass rush, you know, he got sacked 8 times in the game, 8. But when he was upright, he was 18 of 24 for 278, 2 touchdowns, including a 63-yarder to Calvin Ridley, a 70-yarder to former Terp tight end Chig Okonkwo, and a 38-yarder to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who's been a bit of a reveal here over the last couple of years. So this is not the reason they're 5.5 favorites over the Titans Sunday versus being an 11-point favorite over the Cowboys is because the odds makers understand Tennessee's a completely different animal than Dallas is. And yet, it feels very much like a code red game. It does. You got to get it any way, shape, or form. Got to get this one on Sunday. Not going to be easy. Jeffrey Simmons is a monster. And they've got some really good defensive players. Big test for Washington's offense Sunday at FedEx Field, where I think I mentioned this yesterday. And if I didn't mention it yesterday, the weather on Sunday at FedEx Field is going to be sunny. But Jaden Daniels is about to play in the coldest game he's ever played in his career, at least that we know of. You know, you can only go back and look at Arizona State and LSU games and then understand what he's played with in the pros. Perhaps he's played an all-star game in cold, or perhaps he played a high school game in some cold weather. Sunday's high temperature, even with the sun shining, 37 degrees. Probably close to 34 at kickoff. Welcome to December football in an outdoor stadium on the East Coast or in the Midwest. All right, I've got a what do you got when we come back that I want to share with you, because 50 years ago tomorrow was one of the most famous Thanksgiving Day games in NFL history and really one of the most painful and hurtful losses in Redskins history. We'll get to that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app.